I think it's good for democracy.
I'd like to see the greener issues.
The issues would be for the homeless and the farmers.
Well, they've done something, but they haven't done enough.
A few of them need to be turfed out, I think.
Hello there, you're welcome to this Facebook Live and Your Politics podcast special. We're live here in Studio 3 where we have the results of that Ipsos MRBI exit poll for RTE, The Irish Times, TG Cahir and UCD. Joining me in studio are our political correspondents Paul Cunningham and Micheál Lehane. First of all to you, Paul, just outline for us exactly what this exit poll is and what it does.
Exit polls are really interesting events because what they do is they have people standing outside polling stations. And what they do is they interview them immediately after they've cast their ballot about what was it that they actually did inside in the polling station. So in this one, they've asked 5,000 people what they did and who they voted for. And 5,000 is an important number because it's actually substantially bigger than the last exit poll we did in 2016. That was 3,000. This now is 5,376. So that means it's going to be a little bit more accurate. And the second thing you do is by talking to as many people like that, you reduce what's known as the margin of error. Because on this particular poll, it's only 1.3%. Like in most polls that you would see in the newspapers, they're 3%. So what you've got is an awful lot of people asked how they voted. The margin of error is really low, and it's giving us an indication of, therefore, on first preference votes, the number ones that you wrote down on your ballot paper, where do they stand? And we've got this incredible result, unbelievable, in which you've got Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Sinn Féin, all three big parties. We used to only have two, now we've got three. All parties, all on the same exact percentage of 22%.
OK, Micheál, maybe you would talk us through the figures on the state of the parties.
Yeah, I know. And of course, this particular podcast has had a tendency to talk about philosophers and the like. And in recent times, Irish politics, to quote Nietzsche, has had a sense of eternal recurrence about it. But tonight, that goes according to this poll, because you see the top three there, Fine Gael, Sinn Féin and Fianna Fáil, all on 22%, slightly ahead Fine Gael, but it's 0.1%. Then a big drop down, but still a very good result and a good indication of result there for the Greens party. This poll suggests on 7.9%, Labour 4.6%. Back below where they were in 2016. And that's not great, given that the party took a punchy on the way out of government in 2016. The vote looks, on the basis of this fairly comprehensive sample, to have fallen further. Social Democrats above 3, Solidarity, PPP just below 3, Aintu on 1.8. Others 1.5, and then the independent bloc, which will be significant. And based on that, you will get well over a dozen again, it seems. Independent TDs return to the Dáil on 11.2% there. So what you can see now is a whole set of questions likely to be raised here. One is the position outlined by Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael that they will not go into coalition with Sinn Féin. Is that sustainable now, given what this poll suggests? And yes, it is first preference votes, and there will be many more votes and many more preferences down the paper. But there is a reality too. For all the vagaries, for all the complexity of the PRSDV system, it's fairly well recognised that about 85% of the seats are determined by that first preference vote. Now, you can say, well, that's 15%. That will be significant in the end. It will, of course. Mm-hmm. But something big has happened there. The only impediment to that question about is it politically sustainable or not to exclude Sinn Féin from government formation talks is the fact that when the seats come in and when they're all counted up, the fact that Sinn Féin are burdened now clearly by the fact that they only ran 42 candidates. It's something, it's a vote clearly they didn't see coming when this campaign began. How would they, based on the local and European and the presidential election before that? So as a result of that, their ability to get into the 40s, even though they have 42 candidates, it's not likely to happen. We have a precedent for this, and it's an interesting one. It's almost exact. Labour in 1992 ran 42 candidates, got 19% of the vote, and got 33 elected that day. So you could be looking at something in the order of that, perhaps. Then the big question, between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, who finishes with more seats? Now, going into this week, it seemed impossible to think that Fine Gael could finish with more seats ahead of Fianna Fáil, given the way the polls had gone. Yes, it wasn't a huge gap, but all the indication and looking through the constituencies suggest Fianna Fáil were ahead on that. Perhaps they still are. I think if you go through the constituencies, if you factor in that fact that Fianna Fáil say is always there, that they've always finished ahead of exit polls. Mm-hmm. And this is a bigger sample though, so maybe that is significant. But if Fianna Fáil does finish with a larger amount of seats, then what happens if they continue to exclude Sinn Féin? Can they form a minority government? Well, looking through those figures, a majority government, doesn't seem like they can get to a majority. Therefore, you're back to a minority question. And does that mean that somehow they're going to have a reverse confidence and supply agreement in place with Fine Gael? And there won't be much between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael on that.
A couple of jumps on that. I mean, one of the things that's interesting about when we're looking at that 22% figure and the margin of error is that it's 1.3%. So that means the vote could be actually as low as 20.7%, or it could be as high as 23.3%. So there's big variations that could happen. As Micheál said, the second variation is that Fianna Fáil, I think, has got 84 candidates and Sinn Féin's got 42. So that's another huge variable. And then you've got different constituencies, whether they're three-seater, four-seater or five-seater. And then there's big changes in votes, say, like the Greens are very strong in Dublin, but they're quite weak in other parts of the country. So what way will that Sinn Féin vote go? So there's loads of questions that come out of this, and we're not going to have the answers tonight, but we have kind of great crack actually talking about what could or could not happen.
And I know in every election we say it's all down to transfers. And Micheál, you said 85% of the seats are decided on the first preference votes, but transfers will be huge tomorrow.
Absolutely. And one of the questions is, say we saw a surge in support for Sinn Féin, particularly amongst younger people. So these new voters who went into the polling booth, what way did they approach it? Did they take out their ballot paper and just go, Sinn Féin won, and leave it at that and walk out the door?
Which would be a traditional pattern for Sinn Féin.
The 18 to 24-year-olds, exactly. There were some details in the poll on how they voted.
Because if you look at Wicklow, say, for example, there are 20 candidates. You know, 20 candidates, so are you going to go all the way down or are you just going to go in? Where's the person I was looking for?
My constituency, by the way.
Yeah. You can see Sinn Féin way ahead in that particular group, 18 to 24, like there's no catching them based on this poll within that group.
You have to remember our radio listeners, so they can't see it, so you have to tell
31.8% within that grouping support for Sinn Féin compared to 15.5% for Fine Gael and 13.6% for Fianna Fáil. And the Greens, too, doing well within that particular grouping, as you would expect.
Yeah. And we'll have a look at how other age profiles voted as well. We have some, I know our radio listeners can't see this, but we have 35 to 49, again, Sinn Féin.
Not much in that now, is there? There's 21 each for Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Sinn Féin slightly ahead there on 22 and the Greens on 9.3.
So you can see Sinn Féin being reeled in.
Yeah. We also have the 65 plus profile as well.
And then
there's no changing that group by the look of that. That's sticking to traditional forms. But you can see, like, in the most clearest terms there, Fine Gael the most popular on 30, Fianna Fáil 29 and Sinn Féin on 12. So that is, in some ways, the older pattern, the older order of Irish politics. And this surge that has come in now. And it was interesting, too, that about nearly 80,000 people registered to vote in kind of those weeks in January, that last minute registration. And if you look at that, I mean, and you look at what this poll is telling us, they would appear to be younger voters and they've made a clear statement. So for all of that, if you got yourself into it, and I know it's a few leaps and it's a few jumps, but we're getting clear patterns here now. If you get into a position where that vote is coming, how sustainable is it, I think, is the question, that Sinn Féin can be excluded even from formation talks in some form by Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael? And is there a possibility, and based on that Sinn Féin themselves can say, well, we want to go away and talk to Labour, the Greens...
But there is a well-worn phrase. The well-worn phrase is, you know, the people have spoken and we have to listen to the people, Eileen. Mm. And on that basis, what we told you beforehand a couple of weeks ago, maybe that isn't quite as firm as it once seemed.
Because what does it say about the way Sinn Féin ran their campaign and certainly all the negativity over the last week of the campaign?
Well, one thing is pretty clear here is that people have stuck to Sinn Féin, particularly in that younger age cohort. Now, as we were talking about Paul Quinn and the horrific murder which happened and the questions that were raised about one of the Sinn Féin's ministers in Northern Ireland, there was a feeling, and we would have discussed it on the podcast, that for many people who are under, say, 40 years old, the talking about legacy issues in Northern Ireland or along the border area, that's something that's effectively a history lesson. and doesn't particularly interest or move those people. And what they see from Sinn Féin was a sense of urgency about things like, you know, insurance rip-off, building houses and getting stuff done, and issues that really spoke to them, those cost of living issues. And it would seem from the exit poll, and we always have to couch it in those qualifications, it would seem that young people have stuck with Sinn Féin despite that negative publicity which surrounded the party for 5 days.
Yeah, yeah, it seems to be that. I'd say Fianna Fáil tonight will probably still look at that and feel there is a way that they will be the biggest party. They might have a few seats to spare on that one, and that will still put them in the driving seat, they will hope. But we've heard from Fine Gael are buoyed up by this. There's been an early reaction from the party chairman, Martin Hayden, said they go into Count Day tomorrow on the basis of this projection as the biggest party. So you can see, despite kind of a clear sense coming from the Fine Gael side throughout the last few days that this campaign hadn't gone well at all, suddenly, if anyone has a spring in their step tonight going into Count Day, because it really wasn't as bad as many of them had feared.
Relief, I think, would be the word.
What about the Green Party?
Green Party, I still think, are, if you think about it, there are only two Green TDs in...
Well, three, with the by-election.
Well, for the vast majority of the last oil, and then one was elected in a by-election only back in November. And it looks as if, you know, most people think they're going to definitely get eight and could even go double digits. So you're nearly talking about, you know, if you just consider the two TDs, you know, a fourfold increase at least in their seats. So I think from the Green point of view, what they were hoping was that they nearly expected to get that. The question would be, could they move out and particularly move out of Dublin and get pick up seats outside of the capital? That is a question which is not answered by this poll. We're going to have to wait to see.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be looking to places on that. Is there enough there for them to win seats in places like Clare, Rathdown, Dublin Rathdown constituency suddenly coming into view?
Waterford.
And you look too at where you could see Sinn Féin topping the poll now. I mean, maybe perhaps in Dublin South West, does that bring the Green really into the reckoning there if there is a transfer? We suspect that that young Sinn Féin voter is probably leaning towards Green, Solidarity, PPP, Social Democrats, but we don't have any basis for that, but it could be going that
same
way.
Same in Dublin Central as well. Like, that's the seat of Mary Lou MacDonald, if she does particularly well, and this exit poll would suggest that that's going to be the case. Once again,
Nessa Harden,
does that
comes
vote
into play there,
transfer to Nessa? Yeah. Exactly.
On the basis of this, are we going to have a very painful task forming a government?
Yes. but I think we really have to see how it all shakes out, how all of those constituencies, those last final seats, because as Micheál alluded to there, is that if Fianna Fáil picks up sort of five seats, it could make a world of a difference from that party and its capacity to manoeuvre its way into government.
Yeah, except that Micheál Martin has been speaking in recent days that the Greens and Labour were being underestimated, he thought. On this particular poll, that's not quite there. And his own party, on this poll and on this projection, don't look to be quite where they thought they were either. So putting together that coalition that he has been alluding to for the last few days of Fianna Fáil, Labour, Greens plus Independents, well, tonight that looks difficult.
What's really exciting about this, normally with exit polls, it gives us a fair picture and can often mean that people lose interest in the count. If anything,
this is the opposite.
So we've plenty to look forward to tomorrow.
I think it's popcorn and couch territory. We're going to be on air on RT1 from 9 o'clock in the morning. Morning Ireland is on for
terrible.
The early ones between 8 and 9. So you're going to have a blizzard of information. And we've got
people 6 o'clock Tuesday evening, though, before you'll really know. I think that would be the...
Well, you would imagine, like, first you're going to... Tallies probably by lunchtime will begin to give you some indication. You're going to have, you know, first counts by mid-afternoon. And then it's, you know, those first, second counts are probably going to deliver the TDs we would have expected to. So it's by nighttime, around this time, tomorrow night, that you'll really be getting into the interesting stuff. And it is a great game, a fantastic thing to watch, a blood sport at someone else's expense.
And it probably will be later before you see the smaller parties who could have a great impact on the final shape of things. Will you see their seat distribution? I mean, on the basis of those figures and looking at the constituencies, could Labour actually fall below 7? Could the Social Democrats potentially get to 4 or 5?
Yeah.
Those kind of questions that you can't answer that or come close to answering that on the basis of these first preference votes.
Because also it's a national thing as opposed to one candidate in one constituency who's got a particular drive, and therefore there won't be a correlation between the national poll here and what they did in any one constituency.
Yeah, I think for Sinn Féin, though, that a moment might come in the next week or so where they can conceivably go to the smaller parties and the independents and say, Mary Lou McDonald can say, I want to be Taoiseach, I want to have a go at doing that. And even if that does seem too big a task at this point, perhaps it is, the fact that they can do it and can approach it kind of changes the narrative, doesn't it, somewhere?
I think that's the it's still the big thing out of this election. We heard the word change all the time and everyone wanted to change. It wasn't quite sure what the change meant. But it's absolutely clear in this election, in the course of the 3.5 week contest, it's Sinn Féin. It's their vote. They've increased it, then maintained it, and it's followed through to polling day, and it's going to be fascinating to see how far they go.
And if you're to go the full distance and spin it all around and say, well, maybe they can't go anywhere but go back to the electorate, well, I don't think there'd be a desire among many for that, except for one party. And that surely would be Sinn Féin, because if they did field significantly more candidates, well then, on the basis of these figures and this projection, they could win a lot more seats.
And they do have people, you know, people like Lynn Boylan, the former Dublin MEP, you know, they've got candidates who they can, who've got sort of a political experience and media savvy and will be able to go into any contest and give it a good, right good go. So I think you're absolutely right. For the other parties, looking at how Sinn Féin is not able to capitalise on the surge in their vote, the idea of going back to the country in 6 months would maybe send a shiver down the spine.
But my kind of a return to confidence and supply is only feasible in one circumstance, isn't it? Mm. And that is Fianna Fáil finishing with more seats, because it won't be offered the other way.
No.
Again. So it's the options are could be narrowing. We'll know much more later on. But the notion that somehow things could have moved more swiftly in forming a government this time, because the concepts of confidence and supply were there, there was a reluctance to go so long, around 10 weeks, because you do have those EU trade talks around Brexit taking place, that there will be a greater urgency in it. And that certainly was the political desire. Maybe that won't be possible now, because this is so fragmented.
We look forward to hearing from both of you tomorrow. Paul, remind us again of the coverage when it starts tomorrow.
Well, I hope I remember it all. But as far as I recall, Morning Ireland is going on air on RT Radio 1 at 8 o'clock. And what's interesting there is they're going to have a whole raft of more information from this exit poll, not just second preferences, but also other questions in which voters were asked. So that's going to be fascinating.
We can't say what they are yet.
No, it's a big secret, so we can't just tell you. But it's really good.
And
then television is kicking off early. Usually it's 11 o'clock. I think it's 9 o'clock. In the morning, television is up and running. We've got reporters and correspondents in every county centre. This is going to be the biggest news gathering organisation. And so you can stay with us on radio and TV online, everywhere. We're going to have you covered.
And there's the Labour candidate, Kevin Humphreys. Kevin Humphreys always, within 10 to 15 minutes, can call the election off the basis of what he sees
Dublin
at the
RDS,
Double Bay South.
So I'm going to go down to the RDS to see if I can catch up with
him. You'll be watching out for first.
So we should know everything around 9:15.
Great. Paul and Micheál, thanks so much for joining us on this Facebook Live special and Politics Now podcast. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to tomorrow when the count starts and getting a full picture of election 2020. Good night.